So, Flight Tales.
Boo-doo-doo.
Hey, you got it already.
No, I watched that one Jake did, and when you said Flight Tales,
yeah.
In my head, I went, whoo, and yeah. Then he was like, whoo. I was like,
yes.
Jake.
Yes.
I could get sponsored from this, though, right? I mean, I drink one of these a day. Caffeine fuels air traffic world, so I think really it should be invested in the FAA at this point.
Oh.
They should be putting Monster vending machines in all the facilities.
On the side of the tower should be painted Monster logo.
It would be an upgrade.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
We should have it sponsored by mm-hmm. Monster.
We have like the Monster Energy Drink girls. We can have Dave Mira. That's an old reference. Some of those BMX guys. We get some skateboarders, some motocross guys in here. Make air traffic great.
Yeah.
Again.
We're here with Nick Jeffers. He's a controller here in Lafayette. Don't really know much about Nick other than he does some presentations.
Yep, I do those.
That ATC meetup.
Yep, it's important.
It really is. I mean, it helps us out as pilots to know what y'all are thinking and y'all know what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know much about you. I mean, you come and do the ATC meetups. I see you sometimes touring the tower. How'd you get started in as an ATC controller?
So the long story is,
like, let's start from when you were a kid.
All right. So, I grew up about 45 minutes west of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
My dad's a controller.
Are you a Browns fan?
I am a Browns fan.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay, man. Life is suffering, right?
Yeah.
My dad was a controller. He's a Navy controller.
Okay.
Got out of the Navy, went right into the FAA, got right to a Cleveland Center. So he went from Navy basically right to the Academy, right to Cleveland Center, just right off the bat. So that's how I kind of end up going into air traffic control.
Are you like you have brothers and sisters that are in air traffic control, or are you the only one in the family?
I have two younger brothers and a younger sister. I'm the oldest of four. One brother is in finance. Okay. I have a sister that's in like psychology stuff.
Okay.
She works like an intake facility. Okay. And then I have a brother that just left for the National Guard. He's at basic training right now to be a controller once he gets out for the Air Force. So shout out Seth.
Two of y'all went into control.
Yep. And actually, Seth went to a CTI school right out of high school to be a controller.
Okay.
And just never got hired.
Oh.
So he was turning, I think, 30. He turned 30 in February. He had to be hired by 31.
Yeah.
So he was running out of options. So he was like, I'll go in the military.
Yeah.
And go that route. That way I can get in
just
easier.
Hop over to the FAA.
Yes, sir. So, but he had been waiting for years to get hired, and just with our hiring process, just didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounded like Alexander had the same problem.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. And I felt bad because we'll get to it in a little bit, but I basically at 27 was like, I guess I'll be a controller, and then went to school for it. And while I was in school, took the test without studying for it at all.
Oh, really?
And got picked up. Yeah, so he's
just
like,
what'd you do the study for?
Yeah. And he's doing practice tests and he's doing all this stuff. And I was like, just sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And wrong guy to ask for that.
Yeah.
It's kind of showed up and now I'm here. So
now I'm here.
Dad was a controller. He just retired in December. We grew up north.
He stayed at Cleveland?
He stayed at Cleveland Center the whole time.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes. I mean, that's the highest level in the FAA. It's a level 12. So he was at the top of the pay band. So no real reason to leave that area. But we grew up doing northern stuff. Like, I played hockey.
Okay.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Skated on ponds.
Yeah.
Played
that
baseball.
We don't have freezing stuff.
Nope. You don't. I haven't shoveled snow in 5 years. So thank you for that.
If we get snow, we shut down the whole state.
Oh, yeah. I start to get excited when it gets cold and you guys start freaking out a little bit. Wrapping pipes. Right. I'm running water in my apartment, you know? So I grew up doing that stuff. And seventh grade, switched over to also do running.
Okay.
Ran through.
Like track?
Yep. Track and cross country.
Okay.
Ran in high school and then ran in college.
Well, I mean, it might have just started
running.
Just running like Forrest Gump.
When I was hungry, I ate.
That's right.
When I needed to, I went.
Yeah, Forrest Gump over here.
Yeah. It was important to my dad that we all go to college, right?
Yeah.
So I'm getting out of high school. Was kind of not sure what I wanted to do. And he's like, listen, I didn't have college afforded to me. So I went to the military. I would love for you guys. I made sure you guys all have the opportunity to go to college.
Yeah.
I want you to go to college. So I went to college and I love science. Studied biology and chemistry. I graduated early, 3.5 years. So about a semester early. Had a major in biology. So my BS is in biology. Minored in chemistry. Applied for 270-ish jobs and didn't get anything.
Wow.
And at the time, my college was running a thing when we applied that said, we guarantee you a job out of college.
Oh, so, they lied. They lied.
Well, no, because I went to the I went to the admissions office, you know, talked to them when I went to graduate. And I was like, hey, I'm graduating December early to get in the job force early, get ahead of all this graduating class. What do you guys got lined up? And they said, oh, here you go. And they gave me a job, and it was selling natural gas door to door. And it literally said requires a GED or high school diploma.
Oh, no.
I was like, well, it's, you know, a job for somebody, you know, maybe somebody getting into sales, biology and chemistry, like, what you got for me?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't promise you a job in your field. We just promised you a job.
Oh, that was the fine print.
Yeah.
So
I had no idea what to do, because I had these degrees that luckily, you know, I had a lot of good scholarships and stuff, so I didn't have to pay much to go to school, but I had these degrees. I didn't know what to do with them. I'd studied squirrels in college.
Wow.
So at some point, I was like, you know, maybe
I mean,
I'll be,
what do you talk about in squirrel study class?
It wasn't really a class. It was my research project. Okay. So there was, at the time, there was like three squirrel researchers in the world. And one
of
them was at my school.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
It was important for a lot of conservation stuff, reasons for health of a forest and all that stuff. But we were studying, we had two species on campus that coexisted, but did not like bother each other. They didn't really intermingle. So we studied them, their mating behavior, social patterns, all this stuff. And I ended up presenting as my capstone project for my degree. So I really wanted to get to conservation. So that's why I'm applying for all these jobs. And now I'm not getting anything. And someone was saying, well, you need a master's degree or you need a PhD. And I'm like, dude, I hated academia.
Yeah.
Did not like this. Do not want to go back to that. I thought I could get a job with a bachelor's degree. It's not really happening. So what am I going to do? So I'm doing landscaping. I'm doing roofing. I ended up working at Planet Fitness for like 3 years. Yeah. And started actually being a mailman for a little bit.
Oh, really?
And finally,
what was that like?
Very boring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good job, really good benefits. But with how my brain works, I was getting off of work physically tired and not like having any mental
stimulation or anything
at all.
Yeah,
you're just same thing every day, same route, same names, same orders, just same thing every day. And I just did not like it. So my dad's like, "Why don't you try your traffic control?" My dad never talked about work, ever.
I knew
for a while my dad talked airplanes, and then I knew for a while my dad did delays for flights. And the only reason why I know this is because we were never on a flight that was delayed.
Okay.
We'd be at the gate.
Yeah, the hookup.
He would call work and say, hey, we're about to leave. Any delays? Okay. And we never got delayed.
Wow.
That's nice. I have never been delayed one time.
I wish I had that hookup.
Now he's retired, so we'll see if that changes. But
so he didn't fly or anything.
Nope,
it was
dad
just
never
strictly
flew.
Controller.
And actually, when he was a military controller, he only did carrier operations. So he never did any landside stuff. He only did sea stuff. He was on two ships, did sea stuff on aircraft carriers, which is very different air traffic, and then transitioned to the FAA, did center stuff for like 16-ish years, and then transitioned over to traffic management.
Okay.
So I didn't really know what my dad did. I didn't really know what air traffic was. I just knew my dad talked to airplanes and delayed airplanes. That's all I really knew. And then he was like, well, you know, it's fun because you get to have like puzzles and you get to do this and you get to do that. And every day is a little bit different. And, you know, you go home and you come back and everything's still there, but it's different. And you're going to get in, you know, different shifts. And he's like, it's a great job. This is the money that it pays. And I'm like, you know what? Shoot. This sounds exactly like what I want to do.
Yeah.
This sounds awesome. So at 27, after wasting years and years and years, just kind of
college,
doing nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I want to be a controller. And he's like, all right, well, you got to be hired by 31.
Yeah.
The hiring process is awful. You know, your brother is going through it, and he's, at the time, he was 23, 24.
So he started, like, when he got out of high school, tried to pursue the controller.
Right away.
Okay.
And so he had been applying for 3 years at that point and hadn't been picked up yet. I had a buddy that I went to high school with who had been just got picked up when he turned 27, and he went right out of high school.
Wow.
So my dad was like, I think your best bet is to go back to school.
Yeah.
So I had to start my life all over again, move into a crappy apartment, go back to school. It was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
Yeah.
So I went back to school, was working the ramp at the Pittsburgh airport to help supplement money. Yep. I actually met one of my best friends that way. He's a captain for the airlines.
Okay.
So we became pretty close, hung out a bunch, and then, you know, stayed in touch. And, you know, I just went and visited him last year again up in Pennsylvania, where he's at now. But yeah, it was a great job for what it was, and ended up taking that test, got hired, and 10 minutes later I was at the academy. And Wow. That's a whole process.
Yeah.
The academy is a whole thing, and then, you know, ended up here.
So you got, so you just basically took the test and wow, that's a easy.
Oh yeah. So I didn't even, I actually am technically for the, how the FAA hires.
Yeah.
I'm not a CTI pool one hire. How they
yeah.
Did
so
it.
That's going to a college and yep. doing
I'm
all
technically
that stuff.
Off the street.
Okay.
In order to graduate from my school, you had to also fly.
Yeah.
And I was holding off on flying. Cause I was like, man, I don't want to spend the money to get my private pilot's license yet if I don't have to. So I'm going to see if I get picked up on this one and then I'll fly. And I ended up getting picked up. So I took all the air traffic courses. I ended up getting a CTO. So we got to train with live traffic.
Okay.
It was a little class Delta, yeah. Students flying, students controlling, you know, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
We had 5, 6 in the pattern all the time. One Cirrus running down over all the Cessnas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you Cirrus guys go nice and fast.
Yeah, we do.
Don't give yourself enough room. But yeah, so it was a great experience. And then, you know, ended up getting to come here. So
I guess you went to, you had, everybody's got to go to Oklahoma City once they get hired, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
For example, I have a friend that she went to Beaver with me. She got her CTO. She started working there at Beaver. Got a year of experience, got hired by a private air traffic control agency and has just been working private and then used that, her experience to apply for the FAA as an experience bid. And she just started in the FAA.
So that's like a private is a, like a contract tower,
yep,
like kind of like
towers.
What Acadiana is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you can start out there and then try to move over.
You have to get hired. I don't know the whole private world, but it's the contract world, but they all have like their ratings already, a rating when you go there.
Oh, okay.
So either it's military or you went to a school and got a CTO, control tower operator license.
Is it a little bit easier to get on? Like you don't have to take as many tests or like if you already, well, I guess if you went to the school.
Yeah. So if you've already done something to get your CTO, you've already gone through some training.
Okay. Okay.
I would say Oklahoma City to this day has been the most stressful part of my career. It was awful. I don't wish it on anybody.
Alexandra had, she talked about her and Jake and.
Oh yeah. It's, and theirs was a whole separate thing because they were married.
Yeah.
Right? So they had an extra level of stress on top of that. Yeah. Whereas I was just going there, just trying to get a job.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, that whole process is it's pretty stressful.
Are you a pilot? Did you ever get?
Nope. Never flew.
Okay.
Never flew.
Jake's really the only one in the tower that's a pilot, right?
Yep.
Nobody else in the tower.
No one else flies.
So how'd you end up here in Lafayette?
You pick your facility based on class rank.
Yeah.
Right? And my class had 5 people graduate. We had 6 people in the class. So 5 of 6 is actually astounding. It's fantastic numbers to have out of the academy. Normally it's around 50 to 70%.
Oh, really?
Through. Yeah. So it's their numbers are pretty low.
Yeah.
But that class, those smaller class sizes had a higher yield. So the week starts off with your evals. Evals determine everything. Up to that point, you've been there for 11 weeks and you have like basically 10% of your points. Your whole 90% of your points that are going to determine whether you pass or not are going to be in these 4 evals.
Yeah.
2 local runs, so 2 tower runs and 2 ground runs. And it is a much busier airport than this one.
Oh, is it?
They actually have parallels that are both open and an intersecting runway that's open.
One day.
We'll keep dreaming.
That's right.
But so you go in there, you do your runs. The first day, they give you your list, your class list. If all 6 of you pass, these are the 6 places that your facility is being offered. One of us didn't pass, so they took off Wilmington, one of the Carolinas. I'm not sure which Carolina was. So
I've been to Wilmington.
Yep, so that one got eliminated. So my last final list was Lafayette, Abilene, Texas, Lincoln, Nebraska, Fairbanks, Alaska, and then I think it was St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. And
you didn't want to go to the Virgin Islands?
Didn't want to go to the Virgin Islands. No, it's level 4. Good luck.
Oh, you're worried
there.
About the traffic. I'd be
traffic.
I'd
it's be. Tower only. I really wanted a radar ticket.
Yeah.
That's because I wanted to be a center controller.
You're not thinking about how it'd be fun to live in the Virgin Islands?
No. No, no.
That's what I would be thinking.
It might be fun, but you're also making less money than you make here.
Okay.
And you're living in paradise. So like, I mean, yeah, you can walk to the beach, but you're probably also living in a little shack, you know, doing it. So what's important to you? Well, for me, it was getting to a place where I could get a radar ticket and get somewhere else.
Okay.
I wanted that radar experience. That way when I apply for radar facilities, because I wanted to be a center controller. I already have a radar background, which I thought made me more
marketable,
pretty to the center
pretty.
People trying to put lipstick on a tower guy, you know. And so I ended up choosing Lafayette. I was pretty lucky though, because our finals were our evals were all on Friday, so we had a weekend that passed before we went into our room to pick, because normally it's like the next day.
Okay. So you kind of had got time to think about it.
Yeah. And actually my class met Sunday night with the instructors for our class, and had a drink and had dinner, and everyone was like, all right, let's all just be honest with each other, because there's a lot of strategy that goes into picking places and whatnot. And let's just be honest with where we're going to pick. That way we can all start making plans now, because as soon as you pick, you do some paperwork and you got 2 days to get there. You have some change of station leave as well, but
you don't have much time to get your stuff and go.
So you just passed your euphoric, and now you got to pick up and go. It's a very quick process, very quick turnaround. We all talked about it. We all knew where we were going. We all pick, we do the paperwork, and then we're coached by the FAA people there at the academy as to how to make your call to your manager. So you have to call your manager to introduce yourself and then tell them when you want to start.
And it's not just a, hey, what's up? I'm Nick and down to see you.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like that, but that's only if you're going to use just your two guaranteed travel days the FAA gives you to get to Lafayette.
Yeah.
Some places like Fairbanks had a lot more.
It'd take you a little while to get up there.
So he had a lot more time to get there with the FAA. The first girl in the room, we're all sitting there. She's like, all right, I'll call. I picked first, so I'll call first. So she calls her person. We've been coached on how to do this. Yeah. Like, this are the change of station days I want to use that would put me at this day to start. This is what I like to do. And we were told that's the professional way to do it. All the ATMs, air traffic managers, they all know this. They're all very familiar with the process. And it should be a really easy phone call for you guys to make. Just don't be too nervous about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
She calls and she does the whole, you know, script that we've been given.
Yeah.
And the air traffic manager goes, okay, so first of all, you're starting off on a bad foot.
Oh, really?
You don't tell me when you want to start. I tell you when you're allowed to start.
Oh,
and
no.
And this girl is about to cry.
I bet you
and
she's
on. And we're all going to do these calls on speakerphone, right? So, like, we're all just kind of sitting there like, oh, no. And then she ends up just agreeing, like, but, you know, the days you want to start is fine.
Like, oh, really? Then why'd you have to put them through all
and
that?
And this girl she's tearing up. Yeah, like, she's crying, right?
Yeah.
The next guy that's going to go, because he picks second, he's like,
I don't want to call.
And I was like, all right, I'll call. So I call and I do the script. My manager at the time was Chris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know if you remember. You know
Chris.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah, he's cool. So
Well, I didn't know who I was calling Chris.
Yeah.
I thought I was calling air traffic manager Chris.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to have an experience like that. So, I'm buckling my belt a little bit, getting ready to take my little beating I'm about to get. And he's like, oh, what's up, Nick? I was expecting your phone call, man.
Yeah.
And everyone in the room's like, are you serious? You're getting the cool ATM?
Chris reminds me of Kevin Hart.
And everyone's impression of Chris is also a Kevin Hart impression of Chris, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I call him and he's all happy to talk to me. And he's like, where are you from, man? I'm like, oh, I'm from Cleveland. And he's like, cool. So you're going to go home to Cleveland first and then drive here? I was like, yes, sir. So I'm going to use today's Monday. So I was going to use Tuesday, Wednesday for my travel days. And then Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, I'm going over like what I use for my change of station.
Yeah.
And I say, I need to drive home to Cleveland, grab some stuff. I'm just going to pack up my car, whatever I can handle. And I'm just going to, you know, get down there. And this is the day I like to start. He's like, yeah, man, that works for me. That sounds good, man. It's going to leave you with a one change of station day. You cool just having one day that you can use in the next like year to for whatever you want to do? I was like, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. He's like, cool, man. What initials you want?
Now, oh, yeah.
So we all have operating initials, right? And when my dad went to Cleveland Center, they had, I'm going to butcher this number, like 300-something controllers.
Yeah.
So you don't get generally your...
Whatever initials that you get.
I'm not going to get November or Juliet, right?
Yeah.
So my dad was looking at the list when he got there and... PZ was available.
Yeah.
And my dad's my hero. I want to be like my dad
so
much. So I was like, you know what? Is PZ available? He's like, I got a PV. I got a YZ. I don't got a PZ. You want PZ? I was like, I would love PZ, sir. He's like, all right, Papa Zulu. All right, man, we'll show him, man, PZ.
Well, these are people that are already in the towers and initials.
Yeah, yeah. So those are ones that were like similar to that.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's only like 20 people here. You want some to take two guys and like combine. Like, all right, cool, man, show it. Like, whatever. It'll be confusing. He's like, all right, man, so yeah, just let me know when you get into town. You know, you guys probably got a packet, you know, at the academy that gave you like list of like stuff and information. Let me know when you get in town and we'll get in touch. You can come in, you know, not your official start date. Yeah. And we'll get you restaurants. We'll make sure you're hooked up. If you need like for your apartment people, like I'll write a letter for you to get into the apartment sooner. You know, if you need that helps and anything you need, man, you just let me know. You know, we're a big family here. Anything you need.
What year was this? Because I don't know when you came.
This is where my career is really going to be weird compared to other people's. So this was February of 2020.
Oh, really? That's when you started?
And in the fall, when I got my letter that I was going to go terminal, which is this side of the house, the airport side, you know, instead of en route, which is center.
Yeah.
I asked if I could wait for a center date.
Oh.
And she said, I could hold off maybe until the spring.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee that I could put you in an en route class.
Yeah.
So I call my dad. I'm like, hey, this is what she's saying. He's like, just go take it.
Yeah.
Get your experience and then get and you out as soon as you can. Yeah. Right? Thankfully that happened because what happened in March, you know, so I get there. It's amazing. You know, I get off the phone, the academy, and everyone's like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. I'm like, yeah, guys. So, peace out. Like have fun, suckers. Yeah. I'm driving to Cleveland. I'm on a high the whole time. Just not only am I, you know, did I pass? I have a job. This is what I've been grinding for years
now.
Got Chris as the boss.
So it kind of set the mood, I guess, from the beginning because.
Yeah. Because everyone was just like, you gotta be freaking kidding me, dude. Yeah. and we had issues with the class that finished ahead of us. They were ahead of us by a week. They had issues because only three of them graduated. No. Yeah. Three of them graduated. It was a 5-person class. And Jake talked on the podcast about his buddy that was in a really high ritzy area. What was that place over like Rhode Island?
Oh yeah. Now I don't remember.
Yeah. I forget where it was. It was like by like Martha's Vineyard area.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh, Martha's. I think it was Martha's Vineyard.
So,
yeah.
That airport was on their list.
Oh.
And the guy that finished last in the class was going to have to go there.
Yeah.
So he was going to quit. And they were like, listen, if you quit, the controllers were talking about it. Like, if you quit, they're going to take one of these places off the list for us. And one of us is going to have to go there. So just wait till tomorrow until we select our places and then quit.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And they were furious about it.
Oh, I bet they were.
So it was a big deal. So he was like, he didn't really want to be a controller anyway. Yeah. So he was like, I passed, but like, I don't really care to do this. I definitely ain't moving there.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a ferry to work every day. Yeah. Like there's no way. That was already kind of weird that happened. And then this happened and we were all just like shaken.
Yeah.
Like it was not, we do not want to make this call, man. This is not cool. And then I get.
And you get Chris.
C to the K.
Yeah.
What, P to the Z?
He's over in Houston now. Yeah.
He's a big dog.
He's.
Which is not surprising. Chris.
Well, I think he's.
Phenomenal boss.
I want to go see him, but I hadn't gone see him yet. But
he sells a house here too.
Yeah, I think he does. He didn't leave. But I think he's getting close to retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been talking about him going to Acadiana for the controller.
Yeah.
What a great gig that is. So the FAA, with our medicals, we retire at 56. My dad, actually, they were so short at Cleveland Center, he got an extension.
Oh, really?
So he worked an extra 10 months in the agency, which helped his retirement a lot.
Yeah, so you came down here, you talked to Chris.
Yeah, I started getting right away because obviously I'm very motivated.
Yeah.
I love this job. Started studying right away, got up in the tower, was working 3 weeks, and then had to go home for a few weeks to flatten the curve. And that was in March. And I was recallable status the whole time.
Oh, yeah. So, but Ed was in there while, because I think he hadn't retired yet.
Correct.
Whenever. Yeah.
So he was working.
COVID was going on. And then, because I remember y'all would close at 6 o'clock back then.
Yeah. The good old days, as they say. Yeah.
So did the Rosses come down the same time? I mean, they would have been.
Rosses were already here. Alexandra was already rated in the tower cab. So she actually had to stay in the facility because she was useful for manning.
Yeah.
Or womanning.
Womanning. Yeah.
Staffing. so she was useful to the agency.
Yeah.
I didn't have any positions yet.
Oh, okay.
So they sent me home. They said, we're going to send you home until the curve flattens.
Yeah.
That was like the phrase back then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
And I didn't come back until November.
Okay.
So I was down here.
So you didn't get any real training in the tower until...
My trainer came up to me the day they're going to do it. Yeah. The air traffic manager finds out and he tells, hey, just so you know, this is about to happen. And my trainer goes, hey, and he slides up next to me right in my ear, goes, if I get you clearance delivery and ground right now, I'll put you up right now. You have the hours. Yeah. Can you do the job? And I was like, yeah, man, get some. Let's do it. He goes, because if not, they're going to send you home and I don't know when you're coming back.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Let's do it. Yeah. Chris comes up and he's like, hey, even if you have that, you're not going to be considered for staffing.
Oh.
So they're like.
Oh, well, so they just sent you home, huh?
My trainer sitting there writing his form real quick, recommend certification. He's like, God, he wads it up and throws it away. And they sent me home. I was recallable status, new city. 1,000 miles from anyone that loved me, friends and family, and didn't know anybody. And
you couldn't go back to Cleveland and just stay there until they flattened the curve.
Not officially, not unless I wanted to use leave.
Yeah,
because I was recallable. So I did take a couple trips though. Went home to Cleveland in April. Went in June to visit my buddy in Newark, the guy I met actually at Pittsburgh, captain for the airline. He was living in Newark at the time, flying out of Allentown. Went to go visit him for a few days, and we did some hood rat stuff in Newark. Flew back home.
Sounds fun.
Call my supervisor in like the end of October. I'm like, hey, well, how's it looking? He's like, dude, I don't know. It's a day-by-day thing. We never know. I'm like, what are you thinking? Yeah. And I was like, well, it's my mom's birthday, November 3rd. I'd like to fly home. See my mom. And also it was dirt cheap to fly home. Like,
nobody was flying.
I was flying round trip. I was taking extra flights just to fly in cool airplanes. Like I flew on a 7-5 from Atlanta to Detroit, and then flew an extra leg to Detroit to Cleveland just so I could fly that 7-5 almost empty.
Wow.
And it was $97 round trip.
Wow.
Out of Lafayette. I flew Lafayette, Atlanta, Detroit, Detroit, Cleveland, and then home Cleveland, Atlanta, Lafayette. Yeah. It was $97.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't find a ticket now.
You will never find a ticket.
So I fly home, and I get a call November 3rd. Hey, man, come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
What if I can't? what if I could come back in 2 days?
Yeah.
He was like, are you not in town? Maybe not.
I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not.
Like, yeah, so we're going to change your days off here, and you're going to come back in 2 days. Yeah. And he's like, really, man? You didn't have enough time off? I'm like, come on, dude. I had too much time off. So I took a lot of crap for that early on. Like, dude, that wasn't, you didn't have enough time, huh?
Yeah.
You need one more day?
Yeah.
You didn't have enough? I'm like, no, it wasn't that. So then we started back up. By that time, we had gotten another controller during COVID, Ryan. Who, shout out Ryan, just got picked up for Atlanta Trade Con.
Leaving us. Yeah.
Big dog now.
Yeah, big time.
Yep. And then, me and Ryan actually we were in training together, got to go to radar school together, Oklahoma City for a month. So got pretty close with Ryan, his family.
Ryan's got some military background.
Yeah, Ryan's military. So yeah. Ryan's does that crazy Air Force tower stuff. Cross departure right now, below 500, clear for takeoff.
Yeah. So Ryan's sounds like an auctioneer sometimes on the ATIS. I was kind of wondering why you decided Lafayette over the other places
in
the list.
So a little bit about the agency when they take us on the terminal side, right? So in route side, all the centers are 10s, 11s, and 12s.
Yeah.
Highest is 12, and the level determines your pay. Right. So if you get picked up center.
So 12's like Atlanta, like Cleveland. Chicago, like the big
Houston,
big city.
Tracon. Yeah. Is a 12.
Okay.
Houston Center, I believe, is an 11. But so like the higher the level, the more you're going to get paid, right? Yeah. So terminal, though, they give you 4-5s and 6s and 7s out the gate. You don't get the 8-9s, 10s, 11s. Like they want you to get the experience first before you work the
smaller stuff.
Yeah. So Lafayette was a up-down. They had approach control. So up-down, if you don't know, is upstairs the tower cab, downstairs is the Tracon. So we call it an up-down, right?
Yeah.
It's an up-down. I was going to get my radar ticket. I wanted to learn radar. Very happy that I did that because I got to learn from some really good radar controllers.
But also it helps you to try to move to, it would help you go to a center or Tracon or whatever, big Tracon.
That's what the advice was that I got. And then,
that makes sense.
A lot of the bigger places are taking tower-only people. Now, they're not necessarily being successful at those places because they're going from no experience to just kick butt radar stuff. But even though I'm still here a little bit longer than I thought I would be here, very happy with my decision.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great.
It's a joy to, fly around the airspace.
Hey, man, when the pilots are overnighting the airlines, I was like, hey, could be worse. You could overnight in Lake Charles. Right?
Yeah, so, that's right.
So there's obviously much worse places to be. So I'm very fortunate to have gotten Lafayette, be working with the people that I got to work with, get to know the people I get to know and do what I get to do every day because this job is incredible. It's so much fun.
You sound very happy on the radio.
Oh, dude, I've worked so many jobs before this one and all of them were outdoors.
Yeah.
Working on the ramp at Pittsburgh Airport, we didn't even have good rain gear and snow. And you're working a lot sometimes, especially the summer before I got to go to Oklahoma City, I was working 14 hours plus a day.
Oh yeah, that's
short staff, stacking A320s, A319s by myself, 100 plus bags, drinking the water that you use to fill up the planes with. Like it was awful.
Oh man.
And then I come here and I'm like, man, I'm in a climate controlled. I was just saying this outside, I'm in a climate controlled environment and people have to do what I tell them to do.
Yeah.
Pretty good gig, man. Like, dang.
You're the boss.
Yeah. You guys stay down here. God dang doll. Like, yeah. Well, if you remember, actually, almost a year ago, like 2 weeks ago, we were limited radar. So controllers in the tower.
Has it been a year? I thought, but y'all were doing limited radar a lot.
Well, this is a very specific incident that happened, right? So we're limited radar and you call and tower sequencing all the VFR guys. And you call me up and you say, I'm over Sunset inbound with information so-and-so.
Oh, I remember
said,
that one.
Yeah. I'm from Cleveland. I don't know where Sunset is.
Yes.
Yeah. And you said, well, you've been here long enough. You should know. Yeah. Like, I'm 9 to the Northwest. 3 weeks later, I go on a date with my now girlfriend that I've had for a year.
She's from Sunset?
She's from Sunset.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yep. That's awesome.
Yep. We're flying out for our 1 year anniversary tomorrow to Mexico.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
cool.
So I was like, you mentioned Sunset. And then she's like, yeah, I'm from Sunset. Right. I was like, oh, God, Ryan. Oh.
Look, see, I got you a girlfriend.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. God dang dog.
God dang dog.
I'm trying.
I was talking about when that airliner guy came in and, you know, he was talking about how you're Papa Z.
Papa Z.
And he's like, says you're legendary.
That's what he heard, evidently. PZ are my initials, right? My dad went by Papa Z because it's fun. Yeah. It's a lot more fun to say Papa Z,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so my dad did that, so I stole that from my dad. And I didn't use it until my trainer put me up for certification in radar. Because that means it's the last step for me. So I'm just doing PZ or Papa Zulu on when I'm doing all my stuff. And I started to get comfortable. And I was like, hey, man, like you're ready. But I want you to own this position. Make it your position. You got to show me that this is your position. And I was like, all right. Up to that point, I've only been, you know, he was more of like a robotic trainer.
Yeah.
So a controller. So that's how he kind of taught me was, and you probably hear it when I get busy, how it just starts. Yeah. I revert right back to it, where you're just control mode and you're just doing your thing. If you want me to be me, man, all right. Well, I got a little bit of personality. That makes it more fun for me. So I'm going to throw in the Papa Z because that's what my old man did. So mm-hmm. Papa Z. And obviously with how I work, some people really like it.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the airline guys picked it up and that crew out of Houston, they fly for Commute Air.
Have you met them in person? Or
haven't
you
met them yet. He calls all the time when he lands to try to figure out going out and stuff. The last time he was in, he was like, dude, we got to be up. You know, we have the first flight, you know, 5:20 in the morning, so we can't go out tonight. But, you know, I'm leaving Commute Air in a few months. So one of these times, I'm just going to end up having to go out with you. Oh, it's going to be a late night. Yeah, but so I give him crap now. And he knows I'm a Browns fan, so he gives me crap. And that's just from talking a little bit on frequency, being a little loose.
I don't know everything you said, but I mean, he came in, is this Papa Z? And then he was talking about how he said some stuff, and then he said, man, you're legendary. And that's when I came on and said, oh, the legendary Papa Z.
Yeah, he was just giving me crap because he's been on frequency and other airlines from different, like Endeavor.
Oh, yeah.
And been like, oh, yeah, dude, we love this guy. I'm like, and then my soup's over there like, shut up. And then all the things that are in the book, I say. Just add a little sum on the end.
And that's when I came in and I was telling the other guys about it. And I was like, hey, when y'all go up there, y'all mention the legendary Papa Z, you know?
Yeah. So that happened. And it kept happening. You guys ended up departing the next morning or a couple mornings later. And my soup's plugged in and he's listening. And when that happened, there wasn't a soup there.
Oh.
So I'm a little more relaxed, you know, having a little bit more fun. And soup's up there and he's the no-nonsense soup. Very much respect his role. That's his job, is to be a no-nonsense soup.
Yeah.
And someone called up and like, is it legendary Papa Z? And I was like,
Not today.
I was getting watched one time too. He's watching me and I don't know who this pilot was.
Yeah.
Don't know who it was. He calls up. It's in the evening and clear in the land four right. He's like, all right, put it on the right side for the big dog tonight. Woo, 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 you're working out, big man.
Who is that? Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know who this is. I've never done that.
Yeah.
And he's watching me right now. He's like,
yeah.
Getting to read it back right. And I was like, yeah. Just verify we're only four right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. We'll put it on the right side, four right for you, brother.
No, I need a clear to land.
No idea. I had I've had SkyWest one time come in. They were flying for Delta. The captain, as they're taxiing in, goes, hey, Tower, quick question. I was like, yeah, yeah, go ahead. He's like, hey, do you know you have your biggest fan on board? I was like, oh yeah, really?
Yeah.
He's like, my FO, when we flew out here earlier, has been raving about you, about how you are her favorite controller.
Oh, really?
I was like, what did I do? And he's like, no, all good stuff. Just you guys, you're so relaxed and have a good time when you're working. It's fun to work. So I was like, oh, you know, I charge for autographs. Pictures are free.
I might have heard that.
No
too.
Flash because of the complexion. You know, it's messing my complexion. I'm aging very well. She was laughing about that. But yeah, it seems to be a thing now.
Yeah.
It's how I like to work. Obviously, it's not.
It's fun
normal.
For us. Like, it's fun for us. I wish everybody would feel the same way. We understand that sometimes you can't do all that. You know, like you gotta get down and be serious. But like when it's slow, and you're slow, and we're just flying around out there, it makes it fun. Really,
I try to keep it as light as I can because it's enough stress, especially for students.
Yeah,
especially for students.
Yes.
I want to make sure students feel as calm and cool and collected as they can for their experience. You know, I was just saying outside too, we get paid in the agency to be trained and then to do the job, right? Your students are paying to be in the aircraft.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they're having a good time.
Like,
they're getting the quality training out of it.
I'm glad y'all allow us to go up there and get tours. And
I think it's great for you guys.
Yeah. And, you know, and then y'all do the meetups and stuff like that, because then the students can see, hey, these are human beings. You know, they're not.
Yeah, I mean, it's helpful for so many things. One of the things at my CTI school I went to, which is a community college of Beaver County, just about 35-45 minutes northwest of Pittsburgh. Shout out Beaver. If you're thinking about air traffic, go there. It's a fantastic school. We took pilot classes. I took a private pilot's course, ground school.
Oh, okay.
I took an instrument ground school.
Oh, did you?
So I went through those classes. I got to see what you guys do.
Yeah.
I know how you guys track radials inbound, outbound. I know what you guys are looking at. I know what you're looking for because I took those classes. You know, some of my best friends fly. One of my best friends is a captain for airlines. So when I have a question about something like, hey, do you guys really have to go 10 miles out for a visual approach in your Airbus? And he's like, who the heck's doing that? I'm like, he's regional jet guy. He's like, dude, he used to fly the trash dash for commute air. He's like, dude, no, man, just we're stable by the minimum we have to be stable by. We're flying that thing in there. Like, they don't got to go out that far.
I know they do go out to AOD, which is like 10 mile or however, 13 miles or whatever. And that's, that kind of is far, but that's them being extra cautious, I guess.
But like having the ability to talk to pilots or having that background where I know a little bit of stuff is really helpful for me. Not every controller has that, and sure as crap, not every pilot has a controller that they know they can run stuff through.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's really helpful to have that communication, that dialogue. You guys can see us, know that I'm a person just like you guys. When I get off work, I'm going to the gym, I'm making dinner, I'm hanging out with my cats, playing some video games, going to bed.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else. Like that's, I'm just a normal dude, man. So seeing us, you know, as human beings also, not just, you know, feds on the other end of a headset.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, I mean, y'all have y'all's protocol and what y'all supposed to say and that kind of stuff, and it comes off as robots, you know, sometimes to the students or scary or intimidating.
Yep.
So to have somebody to be able to kind of a little more relaxed than...
Especially with how we have to have things said, you know, there's very specific things that we have to have said a very specific way in the radio, and if I have to correct you... You've already been getting the courage up to say what you're going to say. You said it. You think it sounds good. And now I said, no, you know, say it this way. And you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well, there's still a way to get it done right that I feel like is more beneficial, more patient with people. Now, you know, the airlines, they mess up their taxi instructions every single time. So how am I going to expect a student that has 3 hours in a Cessna to say, like, be nice, be kind, have a little bit of empathy. I get it's air traffic. I get all that stuff. I get how serious this job is. But with how serious it is, also comes that empathy part of caring about. There's a person in that airplane.
Yeah,
relax a little bit.
Yeah, chill out.
My friend that the airline captain I keep talking about.
Yeah,
his name is Joao.
Okay,
he's a Portuguese.
Yeah, Portuguese.
He's a Portuguese. Yeah, he moved here when he was like, you know, a young teenager.
Yeah.
So he had to learn English and everything.
Yeah.
No accent at all. Great guy.
Oh, really?
He's done such.
That's
him and,
awesome
him and his
when
brother,
they get when somebody.
Yeah, yeah, they both came over here. His dad was a diesel mechanic, right? Yeah. So he like learned very quickly how to speak English. Him and his brother got through. His brother owns a trucking company.
Yeah.
They did really, really well for themselves. Like true American dream, right?
Yeah.
Dad retired. Mom and dad moved back to Portugal. Whole family's in Portugal. He's been saying for years, dude, you got to come to Portugal.
Yeah.
Portugal.
That sounds cool.
He's
it'd be fun.
You buy the ticket over there. We're just going to stay with my family, have a good time, tour the country a little bit. So I was like, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So this morning, the next day I'm flying out for Portugal. Oh. So I'm already on like my like first time leaving the country mindset.
Yeah,
I'm
all, yeah, you're
I'm
all
just,
pumped.
I'm all ready to go. Just pretty much checking out, right? For safety reasons, not checking on the safety stuff, but yeah. I'm just like in a great mood. Yeah. Just cannot wait. Going, traveling the, you know, the world with my best friend. Just so excited. Been practicing some Portuguese. Forgot it all since. but learned a few things to say, you know, yeah. I was over there. So I was practicing. I'm having a good time with it. This guy calls up. She's on. I don't know who she is, right? I don't follow any aviation people at all.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
I don't know any of that stuff. I don't know that world.
Yeah.
None of the influencers. So she checks on. Cool, just a normal.
She was crossing the airspace. Wasn't she going from Houston to, I guess?
Yeah, west to east. I don't know where she was. Yeah, maybe okay. She was going to New Orleans, something like that. But yeah. And it's a morning, and it wasn't like busy, but for the position that I was working where the radars all combined up in the tower cab, I had a little bit of stuff going on, right? Just some planes in the airspace flying around. This guy calls up to get flight following. And he says his it's a normal transmission and stuff, but I have to have his aircraft type.
Yeah.
And by type, I don't mean your common name. I mean, what is your ICAO identifier, right? Yeah. So I first say, you know, say aircraft type.
I think I remember this too. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, and he says it. I don't remember what it was, but he said it. And I don't know what that is. What's your ICAO identifier?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's your four letter number type aircraft?
Yeah.
Go, sir, I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around like, anybody else hearing this right now? Like, this guy's flying a plane.
Yeah. I think I wasn't really paying attention to it closely at the time, but then when you said the next thing you said.
So, and I'm like, okay. So like when you file an IFR clearance, what do you put for your aircraft type? Because I feel like this is the last thing that I can ask him to figure out what this is.
Yeah.
He goes, sir, I'm not sure what you're asking. And I was just like, all right, I'm done with this. Is the spinny thing on top of your aircraft or in front of your aircraft?
That's what the part
and
I remember.
Yeah. I don't think I came up with that. I think I heard it somewhere in the past.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, that dude's getting trashed right now with frequency. Like, but that was the thing that came out was, and it was pretty instantaneous.
And he still didn't get it.
And he's like, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Yeah, he still didn't get it.
And I was just like, are you like,
I mean, I knew what you were trying to, is it a helicopter or an airplane?
Like what is going on here, man? Cause he's only doing like 80, 90 knots.
And it's more like a helicopter.
So like, I'm like, this guy could be,
he could be a Cessna. He could be
anything, right? Anything that goes that speed. And I'm like, I don't know what this guy is. I end up calling Baton Rouge. And I'm like, hey, I'm putting this guy as a Skyhawk. I don't know what he is. This is, you know, that's his speed. He cannot tell me his aircraft type. This is what he said the name was, but I don't know what that is. And it ended up being one of my buddies over there. And he's like, oh, it's okay, man. I'll be like Inspector Gadget and figure this out. Or he said he made some like reference like that. He's like, well, we'll figure it out. And he calls me, ended up calling me back like 25 minutes. And I was like, dude, that's a case I ain't ever going to crack. He's going to be a C-172 to his destination. And his punishment is everyone's going to call him Skyhawk the whole way there. But yeah, so she heard me. And then the next guy that keys up heard this whole exchange, right?
Yeah.
And he calls me up and he gives me everything. And he goes, and my aircraft type is this. And it's an Italian aircraft. And it has a clear bottom. So I can do like my my pipeline work, and this is the identifier for it. And that's why I was like, ooh, fancy, like Italian. Oh, everyone watch out. There's an Italian aircraft in the airspace. And then obviously she heard and she felt comfortable saying something, and that's where the conversation went.
Now, I forgot what exactly she asked.
Do you think my Cherokee 180 is also fancy?
Yes, that's right. Y'all had a big, long conversation, and then I come out of nowhere because she said she was going to put you on her, she's got a Facebook page or
YouTube page,
or something. Yep. And then I said, oh, you're going to be famous. And then you had made a comment.
I'm already famous.
Yeah, like, I'm already famous. There you go.
Yeah. This has gotten away from me, just so you know. Like, this is a spinning cycle that I've not been able to stop. Just trying to have a good time.
Yeah,
oh,
me
dude,
gonna
I
be
have
famous.
So many people all over the country sending me that video. Like, dude, is this you? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, that was awesome. I could never say that. I'm like, yeah, well, I probably shouldn't have said that either, but... Like I said it, I went every way in the book I could do it before. I was like, all right, you're just a Skyhawk. I'm not doing this. And it ends up, this guy evidently has a page, and he flies with her at air shows and like does like stuff. And So evidently he's not like a nobody. I just think he was just not understanding what I was trying. Maybe he wasn't hearing properly, like his headset or something. Because his headset wasn't that, on my end, wasn't that great. But it turns out he's not like just a Joe Schmo, that weekend warrior guy.
He's got some hours.
Cajun
and time.
Kyle flying around, you know, just smashing bugs and So it's I don't know, but. So he was Skyhawk to wherever he was going.
Yeah.
Until someone past Baton Rouge maybe figured it out, but that was his punishment, I guess. Yeah, that was a fun time. I mean, I still am get comments about that.
And about, like, the video,
the SEA that I like to do, because that's obviously more of a military thing.
Oh, yeah, the SEA thing. Yeah, you do that a lot. Yeah.
See you.
Yeah, so like, good day. Yeah, the military guys do that. And actually, when I was in training, F-18 Super Hornet gave me a really good SEA. And I, like, froze. I was like, what just happened? And my trainer's like, dude, I mean, he's like, you like the service, man? He's giving, like, a little fist bump, you know? Like, yeah, like, you got some. I was like, okay, well, like, that was good. He's like, yeah, that was good. Like, all right, yeah, I like that then. All right, cool. So I'm going to start doing that a little bit. And the more I did it, the more it kind of just, it's just a thing now.
And I think some other people in the tower are doing it now.
Yeah, it comes out a little bit every once in a while. But just, and it's just another thing to keep things a little bit light.
Yeah.
Just keep it a little bit light.
Keeps it fun.
Try to keep it fun. Like I said, this is to me, it's the best job in the world. I have so much fun doing it. I get to go to work and do something that I love. It doesn't feel like work most of the time, you know? So I work 5.5, maybe 6 hours of my shift.
And like, it shows. I mean, it shows that you're having a good time whenever, you're up there. So what's your plans for future? Like, what do you, I mean, I wish you'd stay in Lafayette, but you know, better.
Pay more
better
other places, horizons, brother. Yeah, unfortunately. Fun. If they paid more here, it would be a lot harder to leave. I've said that since I got rated, that I really love the area. I like it. I don't have to shovel snow.
Yeah.
I haven't shoveled snow in years. And, you know, I wake up, my joints don't hurt in the morning. It's the strangest thing. Food's good. People are good. So weather's great. Trying to move up. Trying to, you know, pay is important, you know, for family stuff and whatnot. But I tried to go center when I got into the agency. Because my dad did. I wanted to do center stuff.
Are you trying to get to Cleveland? Or are you just
trying to get to Cleveland. But with how much the I fell in love with doing approach stuff, Houston Tracon, it's right next door. So I have paperwork to go in there too. That'd be really cool. Cause that's like the way I see it is we're, you know, level 5 here at Lafayette. So this is like the minor leagues, you know, maybe like single A ball for what we do. That's major leagues up there, man. That's the show. So if you want to see if you got it, that's the place to go. Go to the top, see if you have what it takes. Yeah. So ideally that would be awesome to go there. But whoever calls me first, it's where I'm going. It's where I'm settling down. So,
well, it'd be nice to go to Houston and hear you on the, you know.
Yeah, that would be.
I don't know if you can do the same things you do here in Houston.
You can. When you're busy, man. When you're a little bit more relaxed, you can have a little bit more fun. I mean, the FAA is, our book is written by lawyers because of stuff that's happened in the past. So it all exists for a reason. And like I said, everything that is required to say gets said. You know, you guys don't get a
turn
on
the
final
thing, you know.
Get a, clear the visual, man. Go ahead and call tower. Like you don't get that. You get the phraseology. It just has a little extra. Oh,
a little extra.
You know, y'all know the movie Drumline.
Yeah,
Nick Cannon. He has a little audition and he like does a little extra.
Yeah.
So I thought I had a little sum on the end. That's just adding a little sum on the end sometimes.
Right? Yeah. All right. How do we usually end it? Oh.
Yeah. So she clipped that.
Yeah.
So
did.
It sounds like a little different, but because she couldn't hear.
He says, oh, fancy to a different airplane.
Yeah, so I say fancy to a completely different aircraft because I'm working a different. So she's on a frequency that the other guy was not on, the guy that was trying to figure out what he was. So she can't hear him replying. She can only hear my replies. So then when she hears me say, ooh, fancy, that's another guy that's on a different frequency because we're working multiple frequencies at once. So she didn't know that it was two different aircraft.
Yeah.
She just heard me being short with one guy, which takes a lot to get me short.
Yeah.
By that point, I was like, no, you're not getting any.
Yeah.
I think even like her YouTube video, she's like, I wish I could keep talking to that controller.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It is funny though, because once management heard about that video, I got the.
Is she getting trouble?
No, actually. And actually, the exact opposite happened. Yeah. So my soup was like, I knew you were going to end up on YouTube. What,
you were going to make it to YouTube.
Yeah. Like, what dumb shit did you do that now we're going to be in court for?
Yeah.
I'm like, nothing. Like, I didn't. Like I used all the phraseology that was supposed to be used. Like you can go back and look at the tape. Like I actually, this was not a bad session. He was like, I don't believe you. I'm like, all right, you know, sorry. But like he wasn't going to do anything about it. And then my air traffic manager found the video. He actually was the a supervisor from Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
So someone from Cleveland, Cleveland Center, sent it to him. And I was like, dude, this is one of your Lafayette guys. And then he realized it was me.
Oh.
He commented on it and tagged me.
Oh, did he?
And said, see me in my office on your next break. And I was like, hey, Alex, I might need union representation.
You remember me saying it, but you probably didn't know it was me.
I knew it was you. I knew your voice.
I don't know if you, I don't know how well y'all know.
So I don't know a lot of pilots by their faces because I haven't met a lot, you know, but I know them by their voices. And actually, your voice is what determines sometimes where you're at in sequence, because I know what you can do for me, what you can't do for me. Like, there's a guy that used to fly under the call sign .com.
Yeah.
And he was flying a Baron one day. And I keyed up. I was like, hey, he has a very distinct voice. Like, you fly .com, you know, so-and-so, right? And he's like, man, I used to. And I was like, this guy's number one. I have a tie between two guys. I know he's going to keep it tight for me.
Yeah.
I know your voice, man. I've seen you do it. So there's a Cirrus that flies out of Abbeville all the time that I know what he'll do for me, what he can't do for me. You guys, for your flight school, I know what you'll do for me, what you can't do for me. So I know how you're going to fly a lot of times, to know where you're going to be in sequence based on your voice.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's some local private jet guys that I know they will
take care
of
you.
Keep it fast and they'll keep it inside 2 miles for me.
Yeah.
You know, there's one guy parked for the private hangar. Say, can you keep it inside 3? I'll keep it inside 2.
Yeah. Of course he will. He wants to get on the ground.
Mm-hmm. So,
who you're talking about.
Based on the voice that I'm hearing in my, my ear, it kind of determines where you're going to be. Cause it's not a standard airport where everyone's, you know, I have a bunch of guys coming in. A lot of times I have to make a decision because there's going to be a tie, and the guy that I know is going to be the closest is going to be the one that's going to go first.
Yeah. How do I normally end it?
Why do you ask that?
Because I forget.
All right, Nick, thanks for coming, man. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks for coming, though.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's good to work with you guys, you know, outside of there. And it's good to obviously, you know, talk like this.
And we enjoy having you in the tower, you know? Yeah,
thank you very much.
If you made it this far, you listened to the entire episode. And for that, we would just like to say thank you, and we hope you enjoyed it. We would also like to thank Nick Jeffers for coming on the show and sharing his story. If you have any questions about today's episode or suggestions for future episodes, just leave a comment or message us, and we'll do our best to answer. If you'd like to check out some fun aviation videos, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Owens Flight Training. Or if you'd like to get more information on becoming a safe, knowledgeable, and confident pilot, just head over to our website, owensflighttraining.com.